Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want to know if you got your popcorn ready.
On three. One, two, three.
This is Wichita Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH. 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
All right, as we roll into hour number two, let's check and see what we have on tap, courtesy of our friends at Side Pockets. Side Pockets, the corner of Kellogg and Tyler, where it's Friday. And here's what's on tap at Side Pockets.
Your choice of a quarter-pound hamburger or cheeseburger with fries for $5.95 or specialty burger with fries for $6.50. That's today at Side Pockets, corner of Kellogg and Tyler. What's on tap later on tonight? The Royals and Cardinals open up a three-game series at Kansas City on air right here on KFH 630. First pitch 7:15. Tomorrow, same two teams at 6:15, preceded on KFH by the Nationals and the Cubs. And then the Nationals, Cubs, Royals, Cardinals flip-flop on Sunday as far as airtime here on KFH. What's on tap out at the NBC World Series? Then there were four tonight at 7 o'clock. Santa Barbara Foresters, San Antonio Angels. To follow, the Wellington Heat and the JUCO National team. The two winners will collide Saturday night at Lawrence Dumont Stadium to determine the 84th NBC World Series championship, and a huge fireworks extravaganza immediately after the game. So head on out there Saturday night, see them crown a champion and have an on-the-field party at the end of the game with a concert from Big Fat Fun. Celebrate 84 years of baseball at LDS. Some breaking news. A couple of different closers in Major League Baseball are in the news. Kenley Jansen, the Dodgers closer, is expected to miss about a month with an irregular heartbeat. This just within the last 20 minutes come across the wire. He was taken to the hospital before Thursday's game with the Rockies, and Dave Roberts said after the game that Jansen was at the team hotel earlier in the day and didn't feel right, called the trainer, took him to the hospital, and he is going to be out approximately a month. The Dodgers, in his stead, used Scott Alexander on Thursday. Kenley Jansen is tied for the National League lead with 32 saves this season. He spent a month on the DL in 2011 because of blood-thinning medication that he was taking to treat an irregular heartbeat. 2012, he was also out after suffering the same symptoms. Oddly enough, in Colorado. That was back in 2012. And he underwent a procedure on his heart in October of 2012 to return it to normal rhythm. Dang. Feel bad for the Dodgers, but man, that's scary for Kenley Jansen. So they're gonna shelve him for a while to try to figure it out and fix it again. On the field news, though, the Oakland A's, who already have a lockdown bullpen, have just acquired Fernando Rodney from the Minnesota Twins. Rodney, 3-2 with 25 saves this year. The A's have acquired Mets closer Jurys Familia to go along with the Blake Treinen, the kid from Kansas who's having such a great year, and Lou Trevino, setup guy. So now they've got basically four guys down in the Oakland bullpen to try to make a run at the second wild card. So there's you're up to date on a couple of closers that are on the move, one for the better and certainly one for not, of course.
They're 21 games over 500. 21 games over 500. They're 2.5 clear of Seattle right now, and essentially a three-team race for the wild card, Yankees, Oakland, Seattle, at least at this point.
Yeah, the Yankees and Oakland, if the season ended today.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then Seattle, and that's kind of it.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it. National League, you got a whole bunch of teams.
Yeah, National League's the fun one. But
yeah,
the A's just trying to keep the Mariners at arm's length, and they acquire Fernando Rodney, who's still getting it done at 41. Quick check of the PGA Championship scoreboard. Kevin Kisner is 4-under through 7, but Gary Woodland is the leader at 8-under through 8 holes. He's 2-under today. He's played 8, but Kevin Kisner charging up the board. He's 4-under today, getting to 7-under for the tournament. Kisner all alone in second place. Brandon Stone from South Africa, 1-under through 12, is 5-under. Francesco Molinari, the Italian, don't sleep on him. He's 3-under through 8. He's up to minus 5 for the tournament as well. Adam Scott, 4-under on the day. He's 4-under for the tournament. We'll check back in with those guys in just a little bit. Coming up about 20 minutes from now, as Bruce alluded to, Tim Fitzgerald from GoPowerCat.com, give us an update on his health and find out what he knows and thinks about the 5-year extension that Bill Snyder got at Kansas State that would keep him on the sidelines, good Lord willing, through his age 83 season at K-State. Couple of things in the world of baseball off the field, again, some former players. I want to start with Jason Worth. first of all, he is out of the game, although he did play for the Louisville Stars. He started the season in AAA with the Mariners. He was at Tacoma, hit 206 with 4 homers and 19 RBI when he walked away on June 27th. Worth, who said he's done with professional baseball, has kind of gone all Goose Gossage on the metrics guys. Quote, "They've got all these super nerds, as I call them, in the front office that know nothing about baseball, but they like to protect numbers and project numbers and project players. I think it's killing the game. It's to the point where just put computers out there, just put laptops and what have you, and just put them out there and let them play. We don't even need to go out there anymore. It's a joke."
Overstating.
Unquote. I guess I don't get it either. What's his
point? Overstating it. That sounds like Bitterman to me.
It really does.
It sounds like Bitterman. And it's ridiculous. I mean, come on. The game is now, very real.
When Goose Gossage said this in 2016, I understood it. He's an old guy, and he hates new school stuff. And he cussed during his rant, and it was funny. And, you know, Goose is kind of a badass anyway. So you're like, all right, he can shake his fist at the way baseball is now if he wants to. He's a Hall of Famer. But Jason Worth, I mean, he kind of doubled down. He kept going. He said, quote, "When they come down, those kids from MIT or Stanford or Harvard, wherever they're from, they've never played baseball in their life. When they come down and talk about stuff like shifts, should I just bunt it over there? They're like, no, don't do that. We don't want you to do that. We want you to hit a homer. It's just not baseball to me," unquote.
That's fine, and I guess it's easy for him to say, being on the outside of the game.
He's earned it. I mean, he can say whatever he wants.
I mean, he has. You know, yeah, he certainly has.
15-year big leaguer.
Right.
I'm just surprised to hear him say it, is all.
I think that there's probably some point and counterpoint from the old wave and the new wave of baseball that's going on right now. I think that there are some grumpy old guys, and I would consider myself in that group, that like the game better the way that it was, whatever it was. It's always evolved. I mean, there was a time when there was no DH, for goodness sakes. I mean, the game has evolved. The things have happened. Now we just have a tendency to fall into metrics. But there are some forms of metrics that are much more valuable and that debunk, to some degree, some of the old tried and true. We talked about it, one of them yesterday. Wins and losses for a pitcher is not an accurate statistical measurement of how good that pitcher is.
Yeah, I think we can strike a balance somehow.
Sure you can.
I mean, I wonder if Jason Worth, or Goose Gossage for that matter, would think that wins and losses are still really important for a pitcher. You know, let's find a baseline. Let's start at a baseline, and then we can work our way up. Worth thinks the game is boring now, and you're turning players into robots. I'm paraphrasing here. That's what he said. That's what he thinks.
There's a very strong emphasis right now on hitting home runs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what the metrics indicate to some degree. I mean, there's nuances in the metrics, but overall, I mean, isn't that basically what we take from game in and game out? I mean, when's the last time that you watched or listened to a game that there wasn't some form of reference to the new metrics of baseball?
Mm-hmm.
Hell, it's in every damn game.
Yeah, you can't watch a game and not hear it.
It's in every game.
Yeah.
Every game. Launch angle, exit speed,
shifts.
I mean, this is the new wave. I'll leave it to everyone's individual interpretation whether it's making the game good, bad, or indifferent. I don't know. I love it when a shift gets beaten.
Well, sure.
To me, that's fun.
But I can also understand what Worth calls the nerds who say, okay, beat the shift if you want to, but the guy coming up next is going to have to get up, give a base hit just to get in to score a run.
Mm-hmm,
yeah,
I get that.
You may have beaten the shift, but all you did was get on base and move a guy up 90 feet where your job,
well,
or technically, would be, hey, drive him in, get him in.
Well, it's
now
it's
we need another
devalued,
hit.
It's devalued in a way the importance of just getting runners on base.
Yes. Although that's where you start. You want guys mm-hmm. on base, but once they are, look, you want to drive them in. I wonder if Jason Worth would think baseball is boring or the game is getting ruined by everybody throwing 97 miles an hour.
Well, there you go. Great question. Right.
You want to just hit it the other way, and you want us just to play you straight up. And then you get David Murphy to second base, but you're leaving it up to Bryce Harper to drive in a run while, oh, by the way, you're facing a lefty throwing 97. You want us to just play straight up and, you know, with everybody that throws flames nowadays?
Mm.
Is that ruining the game too? Five relievers down there in the bullpen ready to throw 99 to 100 each.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not going to leave them down there. I'm not going to just leave my starter in to face you because that's the way it used to be.
Well, of course.
Kind of goes both ways.
Right.
You can't have your cake and eat it too when it comes to new school way of thinking because specialized bullpens are part of it. So,
and that's exactly right. Now, part of that has led to longer games and it loops back to the contention, the overall contention of the game's more boring than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is it? If it takes longer, does it necessarily make it more
boring?
That
doesn't make it boring,
It doesn't make it boring. It just makes it longer. I mean, you know, if you've got someone rolling in out of the bullpen that's going to throw 96 in a situation with runners on base in a one-run game, if it takes me a few extra minutes to get there, I'm still looking forward to the matchup.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, nothing changes. I mean, I love a close game and a closer coming in, and you know, that doesn't bother me. That I'm all good with that because there's great drama in that. It may take a little longer to get there the way the game is played now. I guess that's a legitimate concern, but you still end up getting to some drama. So, I don't know. It's going to take people with bigger... I don't know. If there are problems in the game right now, I usually start grumbling when games get into the 3-hour and 45-minute range, I'll admit. That seems a little long to me.
I hate it when Wichita State plays a 3-hour game.
I'm
not any different than any Joe fan that it takes him forever to play. But like you said, that doesn't mean it's boring. But you know,
it's not boring.
Just like anybody else, I'd rather it happen in 2:25 too. But Just not gonna.
No, I'm with you, but I don't know. I mean, metrics aren't, they're not going away.
No.
And the nerds aren't going away. And you know what? It's taken a while. I mean, think about Billy Beane, and if we're going to, you know, trace the genesis of this back to Billy Beane and that form of sabermetrics in baseball, think how long it's taken for Major League Baseball to really get there.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, it's taken a while. A
long time.
You know? I mean, there were some teams. Theo Epstein in Boston was much more willing to give that a listen. There were some franchises kind of ahead of the curve on it. And like I said, I'll leave it to each and every one out there to determine whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, mm-hmm. or if you were running a baseball team, if it's something rather that you would pay attention to. Well, hell, everybody's got a metrics guy now, and most teams have two or three.
Yep.
So that's that. I mean, that's not going away. That's baseball. That's how baseball is going to change now, and it will continue to change. So
another former player making some news, former major league pitcher and outfielder Rick Ankiel confirmed on Monday he plans to train for a potential return to baseball in 2019. Prior to the Cardinals game against the Marlins on Fox Sports Midwest, Ankiel said he's looking to come back as a reliever. Quote, "When you take a look at baseball, the game has swung back around to my style of pitching. Talk about the big curveball, the fastball is up. So I feel like why not come back as a lefty reliever and put one more chapter on the book," unquote. On one hand, I say more power to him because he went on to talk about his kids never saw him pitch. So if you get an opportunity for that, as selfish as that may sound, go for it. By all means. But he has so many pitching demons.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely.
That are 6 inches between his ears. I wish him the best of luck because
he's Bull Durham with just a little bit outside. Uh-huh. I mean, you know, he's a guy that can't find the zone. Did you read his book, by the way?
Well, I've read enough of it to know that he had to alter his state of mind just to go out there and function.
It was pretty interesting, mm-hmm. from a psychological standpoint and study. It was pretty interesting to listen to and what he tried to deal with to try to stay in the game. And you know, we know all about the changing of position and this, that, and the other thing. But he dealt with a ton. So there's a part of me that says, okay. I mean, even if it's an extended spring training, I'd love to see how much he's dealt with that, and has he mastered those demons?
Yeah.
Because he obviously, it was something or other that made him change who he was as a player, and a pretty damn good one, too, might we add.
Well, and lest you forget, he was the runner-up for the Rookie of the Year in 2000 when he was 11-7 with a 3.5 ERA. That year's postseason, though, is when he unraveled. He walked 11 in four innings, and in game one of the NLDS, he threw five wild pitches in one inning. He is currently 39, last appeared in a Major League Baseball game 5 years ago, split that year between the Astros and the Mets, which I totally forgot about. He's defied the odds once. Once he figured out he couldn't throw strikes anymore, he became an outfielder. And very respectable 242 with 74 home runs in seven seasons. And still obviously possessed a tremendous throwing arm, which he used to his benefit by throwing out runners from the outfield instead of getting guys out from the hill.
Hey, Matt Holliday's trying to do it at 39.
Yep.
So, I mean, you know, if I find him a place, get him out there and see what he can do. What the heck? I got no problem with that. Good for him.
I still will never forget in Vegas in 99, my last year of organized baseball, the Memphis Redbirds came into town, and he was on that team at the time, and I'm in right field during batting practice shagging, and it was getting toward the end of our BP and getting closer to the beginning of theirs. And, of course, they were in the first base dugout, you know, and so they're down the right field line starting to play catch, get ready for their BP. And I could hear this snap and a sizzle of the ball in the air. You know, you could tell people were playing catch behind you. But this had a different sound. I'm like, what? Is there a seam coming off of the ball, or is it unraveling? Or, you know, because you could hear it going by behind me. That was Ankiel playing catch.
Interesting.
The ball coming out of his hand and it sizzling into the glove of whoever he was playing catch with, you could hear it. And now you can hear you can hear the ball come by you if it comes by close enough.
But well, there's different levels of it.
It was a different sound coming out of Rick Ankiel's hand. Yeah. And I've never heard anything like it before or since. And I'm sure there are plenty of guys like, in the big leagues with big arms like that, but that was my introduction to Rick Ankiel. I'm like, holy hell.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, it's like guys in BP. You hear what if you're just happen to be down on the field and BP is going on and maybe you're not locked into it, but you hear a ball being hit and you immediately stop and see who did it.
Different sound.
Some guys just square it and hit it differently than other guys.
Yep.
It's just the way it is. It's remarkable. There you go.
We got two guys on the leaderboard at the PGA, Kevin Kisner, Gary Woodland, both at 8-under. Kisner 5-under on the day through 8. So he's having a magical front side. And Gary Woodland's hanging in there, though, the KU product. We need to get a hold of Fitz, don't we? Let's do that.
Yeah, Bill Snyder signed a 5-year extension that would get him to age 82. Tim Fitzgerald, our buddy from GoPowerCat.com. Cancer survivor and battling against it each and every day. We'll get an update on his fight and the remarkable story of Bill Snyder. Back in a moment.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.